Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
True Spirituality, Part 1. Are you just busy or spiritual? Many people are busy and they miss the point. Dr. Potter tells the story of a young man who stood at the bar of a court of justice to be sentenced for forgery. The judge had known him from a child, for his father had been a famous legal light, and his work on the law of trusts was the most exhaustive work on the subject in existence. "Do you remember your father?" asked the judge sternly. "That father whom you have disgraced?" The prisoner's son answered, "I remember him perfectly. When I went to him for advice or companionship, he would look up from his book on the law of trusts and say, 'Run away, boy, I'm busy.' My father finished his book, and here I am." The great lawyer had neglected his own trust with awful results. How many times are people busy, but they miss the important things of life? Because they're so preoccupied with something else. Here is this great lawyer, wrote this definitive work, and he lost his own son. "I have no time for you, boy." I want to speak very clear. Spiritual people may be busy, but busy people are not necessarily spiritual. Even if you're working about the church, you may not be spiritual. What do you mean? Well, let's stop and think for a minute. Judas Iscariot traveled with Christ for 3 years, and he was unsaved. Was he not busy about the Lord's work, if I can use that expression? Yeah. Outwardly, he had all the signs of an incredibly spiritual man, but he was unsaved. How many Christians are busy, but they're not spiritual? Let us make sure we never substitute busyness for spirituality. Neither must we substitute morality for spirituality. I'm not against morality, but who defines morality? There's some pretty immoral people that think they're moral. We must go for spirituality and let the Scriptures define what is called morality. It's spirituality is what it is. It's proper behavior before God Almighty, our Creator, the one we're accountable to. Our text verse for tonight is Luke chapter 9, verse 23. I'm going to give it to you, but we're going to take some time getting to that verse. "And he said to them all, 'If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" Here it is, Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples, telling them and teaching them the essence of spirituality. I want to look at the events leading up to that statement. And then I want to consider that statement and see really what Christ is saying. What is true spirituality? Here we have Jesus Christ addressing the disciples, obviously telling them how to be spiritual. In that group are 11 saved men and Judas Iscariot. Judas needs to get saved before he can begin to grow, because spirituality is Christ-likeness. But Christ knows his spiritual condition. Judas has heard much. He's going on with his teaching for the others. Here's how you be spiritual. Is it not amazing that Jesus Christ was so willing and so eager to get everyone saved, he actually allowed Judas Iscariot, knowing he would betray him, to be in his inner circle? Folks, every person has a chance to be saved. My goodness. And so Jesus says these words to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." Among many teachings, he's teaching here the very essence of spirituality. To fully understand the impact of this, we're going to back up to verse 1 of Luke chapter 9. Because I want to see some events that lead us up to that statement. To fully appreciate what Christ is saying. Luke chapter 9 verses 1 through 6. The disciples had been sent out to minister. Then he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. I think it would be fair to say they were busy about the Lord's work. Not only were they busy about the Lord's work, they were given power and authority over devils, the forces of evil. They had power and authority to cure diseases, heal the sick, and they had power to preach the kingdom of God. They were busy about the Lord's work. They were really used of God. Consider when they came back from this, can I use the expression, missionary journey. In verse 10, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. He took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Now, it is interesting to note when he sent them out, they were disciples. When they came back, they were apostles. Interesting. Now, he comes back. They come back to Jesus and they tell him everything that happened. I want you to imagine you could be there as they came back. They talked about how this person accepted us. It was so neat. We went into this guy's house and they're talking all about it. And some are saying, oh boy, and then did we hit one. This guy didn't want to hear anything. He just wanted to argue. And I, you know, and then remember that demon? It was incredible. And then there was this blind man. And then there was this lame man. And this deaf man. And they told them about the families they met. They told them about the message, how it was received. They told about the animosity. They were probably all talking at once. No, Peter, that's not. Do you remember what happened? And they were so excited. Then they go to Bethsaida. And the crowd followed them. Verse 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. They went to Bethsaida. And now the crowd follows. And he, Jesus, received them and spake unto them the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Think about it, what just happened now. They went out preaching, healing. They had authority and power. They come back, they tell their story. They head to Bethsaida, the crowd follows them, Jesus accepts them, he receives them, and look what it says. And he received them, spake unto them the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. He just did exactly what the disciples just did. In other words, the disciples are in essence in sync with God's ministry, his purpose. You just did it, watch me do it. We're all in this. So it's not like they were cursed. It's not like they were out there as a bunch of loose cannons. They were functioning under the authority of Jesus Christ. Where they were called. Where they were sent. So here he clearly identifies. He does what they just did. Then, verse 12, and when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to the disciples, make them sit down by fifties in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. And there was taken up fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. Again, we now have the disciples busy about the ministry. Here they are. Take a little bit of a leadership role here, guys. I want you to get them seated in groups of 50. And so here are these ragtag guys going out, dividing them up into groups of 50. Okay, let's all get seated here. Some may not have been, shall we say, leaders. God is giving them experience. Have them sit down, organize. I put you in charge, handle it. And so it is. They organize them. And then Christ takes the little bit of loaves and fish that he has and he blesses it. And they distribute. Everybody eats. And how many disciples were there? 12. How many baskets were there? 12. Do you think he was making a point? And they're all standing there with a basket full. How'd that happen? Because God was in it. Here it is, busy about the ministry. Surely God is working. But these experiences were not to replace personal spirituality. We can be very busy about the work, but neglect personal spirituality. Hence, Jesus will say to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Surely these disciples were busy. I can't deny that. Were they doing the Lord's work? Yes. But it's interesting when Jesus Christ tells them, if you really want to come after me, keep feeding the 5,000. Keep going out on your missionary journeys. Keep being busy. He didn't say that. He said something very different. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, spirituality is not in our deeds. It's in our inner convictions. It's in our renewed thinking. A broken, humble spirit before God. Usable. Not outward compliance, but a true inner change when our thinking changes. It's interesting now that he has fed the 5,000, verse 17, it ends there, we see that. And then verse 18, I start to see a shift here. Jesus now that they've been busy, now that they've seen people healed, now that they've seen people that they've preached to, now that they've seen the multitudes that Jesus Christ himself healed, that Jesus Christ spoke of the kingdom, now he starts to change a little bit. Okay, you've seen what it's like to be busy, but do you know who I am? In verse 18, it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, whom say the people that I am? Spirituality is not in busyness. It's in understanding who Jesus is. It's in a self-denial. He's getting them to understand, do you really know who I am? Has it really registered I am the Son of God, God in the flesh? They answering said, John the Baptist. Some say Elias. And others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answered, saying, the Christ of God, the Messiah. You are the one that we've waited for, the Lamb of God. Jesus is starting now the thinking process. Is it registering with you guys who I really am? Christian, if we would come to grips with the reality of the Scriptures. it would be life-changing. You would never worry again. Now that he has said that in verse 22, now that you are thinking about who I am, do you know what my real purpose is? Verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. What? You have to remember, they had no clue the church age was coming. They're expecting a kingdom. I can't believe that they understood Daniel's 70 weeks or 490 years. And I have to believe they probably were thinking, you know, in about 8 years or so, I don't know exactly, aren't you going to start the kingdom? They didn't understand this incredible gap between the 69th and the 70th week. The church age. What do you mean you're going to die? And you're going to raise again the third day? What? They didn't fully understand. So he says in 18 through 20, he says, do you know who I am? And then in verse 22, can I tell you my real purpose? I'm going to die and I'm going to raise again. Are you guys thinking now? Spirituality is more than just busyness. There are some deep truths that have to register. Are you guys getting it? And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And sometimes when we start to really get into the scriptures, we come across some pretty tough stuff. What do you mean? Those who live righteously shall suffer persecution. I don't like that. That's reality. The first point we've already made, but I want to go over it again. Busyness about the Lord's work is good, but not to be confused with spirituality. I certainly don't mean to preach a message. We're all going to walk out of here saying, oh, great, we don't have to do anything. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that there is something foundational beyond just busyness. Surely they were used of Christ. Surely they did heal. Surely they did have power to preach and to cast out devils. And surely they watched and they were there for the feeding of the 5,000. But he says there's more. There's more. Spiritual people may be busy, but busy people are not necessarily spiritual. I want you to get this too. Not only were they busy, look at verse 10. And the apostles, we have a title. I must be spiritual because I have a title. I think it's interesting. In verse 10, the scriptures say the apostles. In verse 14, Jesus Christ is not impressed with a title. And in verse 14, he says, for there were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples. I'm not denying that they weren't called apostles. But folks, don't let a title ever go to your head. And just because somebody has a title, God's not impressed. And so here it is, many, many believers throughout the ages have stopped at busyness as a form of spirituality. I don't doubt their salvation. They trust Jesus Christ apart from any works, and they got busy. But did they ever truly deny themselves? They would do well to consider that Jesus Christ taught a much higher, a much greater level of spirituality that's not found in busyness. It's found in your innermost convictions and your understanding. The second key point I want us to get here is every believer must make a choice. Look at verse 23. Luke 9:23. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me. Are you going to choose that? Or are you happy with your salvation? Do you really want to pursue what Jesus Christ is teaching here? Can you honestly say, Lord, I want to be all that I can? I believe there are many, many, many Christian soldiers. I believe there are very few Christian Navy SEALs. They don't want to go through that. They don't want to pay that price. Many are satisfied with salvation, being delivered from the penalty of sin. Their eternal destiny is settled. They have a home in heaven, and that's enough. I don't need any more. I must be spiritual. I'm busy around the Lord's work. But Jesus Christ set forth another choice. You guys have been busy, but do you really want to come after me? Or are you happy with just being busy? Can you imagine how rewarding it must have been to have been given the power to heal, to cast out devils, demons? Can you imagine the human thrill that must have been? Lord God, what you just did through me, that man was blind and he can see. That would have been emotionally very exciting. And Christ did not say, if any man will come after me, ask for this power to heal. He didn't say that. That's not where spirituality is found. There's another choice. I want you to see this. We have to truly consider, do you really want to come after Jesus more than just the surface work? Verses 1 through 17 of Luke 9 are only the beginning, the surface. There is a much greater level of spirituality. And that's truly what Jesus is saying. Do you realize who I am? Can I tell you what my work is? I'm going to die. I'm going to be slain and I'm going to raise again. Let us look at three components here. Do you really want to come after Jesus? Have you made that decision? Let him deny himself. To utterly deny, to disown, to forsake all of your personal desires, goals, and ambitions for the cause and the purpose and the will of Jesus Christ. I like this, but God has called me to this. And I willfully give up my desire because I know God wants me to do this. Will you deny yourself? Pleasures, things that we think we need, wants, personal goals. We need to make a conscious effort to think differently. I will deny those. I will deny that. Set them aside. Deny yourself. Actually see and appreciate that the spiritual life is of a greater value than all of your personal desires. I will deny myself. I see the value in the things of Christ. This takes faith. You know what it gets us back to also? That age-old theme from Genesis to Revelation. Believers, trust Christ in daily living. And sometimes we're going to give up things that seem so painful. Give it up and keep going down the road and God will all of a sudden show you. And someday you're going to go, I can't believe I thought that was so important. But God wants us to deny ourselves first. Too many times we want God to show His hand, then we'll let go. God says, no, I am the rewarder of them that diligently seek me. We seek, then He responds. Salvation, He acted first. He sent His Son while we were yet sinners, without strength. But now that we're saved, it's our job to start to apply ourselves, then He shows His hand. But we want God to show His hand first. If we really think logically, the only logical conclusion is spirituality is to be preferred over this life. This life's going to end. Spiritual life doesn't end. And how many times are people deceived into thinking that self-denial means missing the good life? No, it doesn't. That's what Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden. Oh, that fruit, You can take that. Look at it. Genesis 3:5. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Eve, God's withholding something good from you. Don't get into this self-denial stuff. I mean, God created it. Didn't he say everything was good? Of course. And she fell for the lie. Nothing is being withheld from Eve. Nothing is withheld from us when we choose self-denial for the sake of Christ. The second step, he says, take up his cross. Now that we have decided, I'm going to follow Christ. Step one, I forsake all of my personal ambitions, goals, desires. I have denied myself. Now, take up your cross. And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Step one, deny yourself. Step two, take up his cross. A choice. Okay, let's think. What is a cross? The cross is the thing that Christ was nailed to. Why can't we get back to the healing of the multitudes and the feeding of the 5,000? I don't mind that part of spirituality, but this denial and cross business, I'm not so sure about. This isn't real seeker-friendly, Pastor Holler. I want you to notice as we go on, Jesus Christ did not change his message for the crowds. Don't you understand I'm already busy about the Lord, therefore I'm spiritual? Since I'm busy serving, aren't I therefore denying myself? I mean, didn't I willfully give up to go travel to go to these people's houses? Isn't that enough? No. What do you do to a horse? The horse has to be broken before he can be ridden. And once a horse is broken, he's extremely usable. But until that animal is submissive to his master, his will is broken. He's not usable. Many times we think spirituality, and these guys were, they could sit there and give evidence, but we healed this guy, we cast out this devil, we preached the kingdom, we fed 5,000. I mean, I'm here with Jesus Christ. And he says, do you really want to be spiritual? You do notice in this verse 23, and he said unto them, if any man will come after me, he does not say, go heal people. Right? Self-denial and cross-bearing is true spirituality. And the cross, don't forget, we don't tell what cross we're going to carry. God tells us what cross we carry. That's self-denial. Self-denial is, well, I'll serve you, Lord, and here's my cross. God says, no, your cross is over here. That's what we're going to cover next week in part two, finding your cross. God tells us what cross. If we pick up our own cross, we're back to we haven't denied ourselves yet. And it's a daily responsibility. This cross-bearing is daily. It's not a one-time thing that we do. It's every day get up and bear the cross for the cause of Christ. And then he says the third step, follow me. I thought I was following you. I thought I was following you when I went up there on that missionary journey. But you weren't following me with your cross. You weren't following me with a self-denial. You didn't really understand who I was and that I am going to be rejected and slain. I'm going to be placed in a tomb. I'm going to be accused. But I'll rise again. You guys aren't really getting it yet. I'm not condemning their busyness. It's important to be busy. But we must not to the point of neglect of the personal root issue of spirituality. Follow to be in the same way. We are literally going the same path. We don't tell him what path we're going to go. We're in the path with him and we're following. The problem I have seen throughout the years is too many Christians tell God how and where they will serve. I'm sorry, that's not self-denial. Self-denial is when you go where he tells you to go. That's your cross. Now the believer gets busy. Follow. Do something. It's not enough even to just deny yourself and to bear this cross. What are you going to go? Sit in some monastery by yourself? No, he says, follow. Let's go. Come on. I have work for you to do. Spiritual people may be busy, but busy people are not necessarily spiritual. Let us not offer a busy schedule to God and think He's impressed. Let us offer deeds that He had for us to do, that we have accomplished well. That He's happy with. Let us not substitute busyness for self-denial and cross-bearing. True spirituality is truly found in self-denial, bearing the cross that God has given, and following Jesus, not some self-determined desires. In John chapter 6, Jesus Christ is speaking to the multitudes. His disciples are there. And he makes some very, very powerful statements. He knew they were tough statements, powerful statements. And it says in verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, I better soften my message, otherwise I'm not going to have a following. Jesus Christ does not soften his message. You know, try as we may, we can hope to lower the standards in Scripture, and God does not lower his standards. No matter which way the world goes, no matter how far the world gets away from Him, God's standards don't move. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye go away also? He wasn't going to sit there and plead, oh no, I knew I shouldn't have said that. Are you guys going to leave too? Many don't want to hear of the challenges in the Christian life. But God doesn't change His word to keep the crowd. Hence, we must begin by choosing between self and Jesus, if any man will come after me. Are we busy? Or are we spiritual? It all begins at salvation. Let that hand represent Jesus Christ. He told the disciples He had to be slain. This is why. This hand represents every person. That billfold represents sin. Every person has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person has a sin debt that must be settled. If we die with this sin debt on us, we will spend eternity separated from God in hell. That's the way it is. And God is not willing that any should perish. Let that hand represent Jesus Christ. So He sent His Son, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the perfect one that didn't just cover sin, but He took away the sin of the world. The sin of the world was laid on Him on that cross. He shed His blood, gave up the ghost, died, and rose again after 3 days, paid in full. How do you go to heaven? When you realize in the quietness of your mind there's nothing that you can do to get rid of that sin debt. It is not of ourselves. We could join every church in town and do whatever we think is righteous. That won't pay for that in any way, shape, or form. The only thing that will pay that sin debt is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary when He gave His life for sinners. When we realize that in our mind and we trust His work, that's when we have salvation. For God so loved the world, but He hated the sin, that He gave His only begotten Son to pay the sin debt of the world. Whosoever, whichever sinner, believes in His work for the sin payment, the work of redemption, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. How do you go to heaven? When you believe, it's not me, it's what Jesus did, and I put my faith in His work, and that alone for my salvation. God knows your thoughts. That moment, you have everlasting life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.